Let me pray. God, we just marvel at your goodness. We thank you for your love, Lord, that just brings us close, compels us in some way to react and come. And we just come as we are, Lord. We just come as we are. What choice do we have? We thank you that you receive us, knowing the work of the cross allows this to happen. We thank you, Jesus, that you want us. You want us. And we want you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would open our ears this morning to your voice. Open our eyes, Lord, to see your goodness, to see you, to know what you're doing and what you're inviting us to participate in. Bless us, Lord, in this time spent together as we spend it with you in your word. Amen. A few years ago now, I remember sitting in the Hidden Valley clubhouse with the board, as it was, of Wallen Gateway Church, with Milton freshly installed, and he did one of his whip-arounds. How are you all going? And there was five or six of us there. And I remember very distinctly that I said, I want to get my hands dirty. That was a prophetic turning point in my life, and I sometimes wonder, why did I say that? But I did, and here I am. But here's what's going on. We have this tension, and I feel we've just covered that in the worship this morning. Our victory is in Jesus Christ, but there's a crushing that's going on. They go hand in hand, and I know that part of my ministry is to assist people come out of the, or through that crushing process, to receive the victory that Jesus has for you. So it's no surprise, perhaps, you're starting to get to know me, that my message kind of focuses on this process. And this isn't to condemn anybody. It's just what happens. We're broken people. But we have a Savior who heals us. That's what he wants to do. So if there's anything that I can just simply share from my experience that might help you see, this isn't working all that well for me at the moment, it's only to point you to Jesus. Because he can help you with it. That's my heart, okay? So let me share what he's helped me put together. At the moment, I'm back in studies, and I'm studying the Churches of Christ identity, which is a whole lot more interesting than I thought. And I came across this, better put my glasses on, a really beautiful thought that Alexander Campbell, one of the leaders of the Restoration Movement that went on in the U.S., which eventually birthed Churches of Christ. He wrote this, and it's just in the language that he used, so just bear with me while I read it. Mr. Campbell said, there is a distance which is properly called the speaking distance or the hearing distance, beyond which the voice reaches not and the ears hear not. To hear another, we must come within that circle which the voice audibly fills. Now, we may say with propriety that as it respects God, there is an understanding distance. And all beyond that distance cannot understand God. All within it can easily understand him in all matters of piety, which is look, the quality of being religious and morality. God himself is at the center of that circle, and humility is the circumference. I've been meditating on that thought. I love it. That just speaks to me. It's a way of describing something that's really, really important in our experience of God. And it's what I read in Scripture just going on and on again as Jesus finds the people who need him, invites them into that space of hearing and of understanding, of revelation. And Luke 10, there's just this passage in there that kind of describes it. And I'll just share that with you before we move on to the rest of the message. But Luke 10 describes where Jesus sends out the 70, the 72, depending where you're reading, just telling them to heal the sick. Just go and heal the sick. And tell them as they are healed that the kingdom of God has come near to you. You remember? And where they're not welcomed, they were to shake the dust off their feet as a warning and say this, be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. Either way, whether you've received it or not, the kingdom has come near. But did you notice that Luke doesn't say the kingdom has come near to you when there's no healing, when the person hasn't received the message? And I think it's as if the disciples were to be, you know, to say, the kingdom has come near, yes, but now because of your choice, because of your response, it hasn't come near to you personally. It just breaks my heart, that thought. And we have to understand, it's never because God isn't being generous, because he doesn't want it. And I think we've probably all experienced situations where we somehow know the kingdom is right here happening, but realize in that moment it's not all that close to me personally. I've gone through that several times, very deep moments where I've realized that this person is telling me something that absolutely rocks my world, but it's not yet mine. It really confused me and shook me up. So then I just deny that. Ignore it for a while, keep on going. It took years for God to break through that in my life. And it can still happen even today that I just feel one step removed. I don't think I'm describing anything that you don't know as well. And that's why I think Campbell's right on the money. There is a line to cross. There is a line to cross, and it's the line of humility. A line where we acknowledge our need for Jesus and we deny our own capacity to fix things up, to sort things out. But once we step over that line, we come into this hearing distance. And suddenly we start to understand things that we could never understand otherwise. That's the Spirit working in us. But we all need Jesus, don't we? We all need Jesus. And many, many of you have heard him speak to you, and we all want to hear him more, don't we? Amen? Amen. And so I really want to encourage you this morning just to take stock. Based on that question of how well are you hearing him at the moment, of where you are positioned relative to that line of humility. Does that make sense? I'm definitely going through this process myself. And it's the Lord's grace that lets me work on that without feeling condemned. I want you to trust that God is always looking for ways to draw you closer. Always. He initiates this. And if you can believe that and ask him for help this morning afresh, then you are choosing even then to make a step to up to that line or even over it, and to enter into this hearing and understanding distance, which is the very, very best place to be. So I don't want you to be concerned that what I'm talking about here in any way means you are stepping over some line of belonging, of stepping into or out of salvation, into or out of his love or his favor or his blessing. Not at all. That's not what this is about. There is no condemnation here because we are in Christ. Okay? But in this messy process of working out the crushing and the salvation of God's kingdom, we just have to face facts sometimes, as I have been for myself, that we just aren't completely sanctified. We are not yet holy. We are not yet perfected. And we still struggle to overcome ourselves, our thinking, our sin. Is the Holy Spirit still in us? Yes. Thank God. Of course he is. Are we still going to heaven? Yes. Okay. This message is simply, my heart is to help you get there, having enjoyed an even deeper relationship with Jesus. And I think really that sometimes it's the guilt and shame that might stop us from thinking about some of these things, even talking about them. So I feel an onus of responsibility to just talk about some of these things sometimes, trusting that Jesus is right there to help us and extend that hand of forgiveness and grace, mercy. He's so good to us, isn't he? So I want to just work through a scene in the gospel narrative where this process really is played out. It's recorded in Matthew, Mark and Luke, but I'm just going to stay in Luke in chapter 5. And if you want to be overwhelmed by Jesus' power, just read Luke chapter 5. It is astonishing what he does. And I'm going to pick it up in verse 27. You'll remember, just prior to this verse is where the friends brought the paralyzed man to Jesus, couldn't get into the house, busted a hole in the roof, let him in. Lovely story. And everybody was filled with awe at that, saying, we've seen remarkable things today. So verse 27. After this, just after that event, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. The kingdom came very close to Levi that day, didn't it? Do you think he received it? Let's have a look. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, to Jesus' disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Bang. Just meditate on that for a week. I just want to stop there because I've been thinking about this. I really honestly can say to you this morning, I am not ashamed to belong to that crowd. I am not ashamed to belong to that crowd. I need to be there. We need to be there because that is where Jesus is. Right? That's where he is. And I want to be there because there's a banquet. People are celebrating what Jesus did for them. And we get to enjoy that with Jesus. It's not the wedding banquet. It's the daily banquet, the feasting with our Lord. I want that. I want that. So I have to recognize who I am. But every now and again, I just get frustrated with stuff. I get disappointed by things for whatever selfish reason. I get bored. I don't know why. I blow a gasket, whatever goes on, and I just shut down a bit. And I feel like I want to remove myself, and I leave that crowd. I honestly don't know why sometimes. It just gets a bit too much, and I just want to remove myself. I don't feel like I quite belong. Please don't misinterpret that. I just want something else. I don't know what that is. It's the atmosphere there. Who knows? Every now and again, we just need something else. We think. And it's mostly because we want to manage things ourselves. That's my conclusion. I don't want to be this. I don't like the humility that's required to be here. I'm just going to have a go myself. But really, I then realize I can't hear the Lord as well anymore. Does that make sense? This is what goes on for me. I hope you can relate to it. Am I speaking to anybody here? Sometimes we just feel like, I'd prefer just to go my own way for a while, but I can't hear the Lord. That's a sure sign that something has shifted in our own attitude. Thank God, though. Thank God that He is gracious. He is patient, He is long-suffering, and He constantly encourages us to come back and draw close again. Have we removed ourselves entirely from His presence? No. No, we haven't. But part of us is just shut Him out a little bit. So let's get back to the Pharisees. They failed to condemn Jesus, even on a point of law that they weren't supposed to associate with sinners or eat with them. They bring this second accusation, and they said to him, "John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking." And Jesus answered, "Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while he is with them?" It's a rhetorical question. "But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. In those days, they will fast." And it might be helpful for you to know that in those days, a bridegroom would have a feast with all of his friends for several days, right up until the point where he actually went to call his wife. And Jesus is simply saying here that while he's here with them, while his bride, the church, was being established, he was like a bridegroom feasting with his friends. And we understand that he was also saying, speaking of his coming death, his burial and his resurrection. And fasting would then be appropriate. There are times when fasting is appropriate, no doubt. But then Jesus, he just seems to change a gear. He just ratchets this thing up a notch and he just releases powerful kingdom wisdom to determine for the Pharisees exactly where they stood. And he told them a parable. "No one tears a piece out of a new garment to patch an old one. Otherwise they will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new, for they say, 'The old is better.'" And I just checked through Matthew and Mark, and they read very similarly together, but they have a different perspective to Luke. Because they write, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. Just a slightly different perspective, but all together it creates this very powerful picture. The mismatch in the material is so obvious, and the potential for damage is so significant that no one would consider attempting such a repair. It just doesn't make sense. And similarly with a leather wineskin. A wineskin is capable of expanding to contain new wine once. And then it's stretched, and it can't stretch any further for a second batch. Attempting something like that means that both the new wine and the old wineskin are lost. So new clothing, a new cloth in old clothing, a new wine in an old wineskin simply doesn't work. Jesus is making that point very clearly to us. And so having answered the Pharisees' judgmental questions, using this parable, Jesus explains why their hearts were incapable of grasping what they were seeing in front of them. Though through the Pharisees' really religious observance, adherence to the old covenant, bound as they were to this dogmatic pursuit of the law, they just could not receive the new covenant. They could not recognize the kingdom of God coming close to them. The gift and the work of grace remained distant to them because they could not. They would not cross that line of humility and come into hearing distance, let alone position themselves within understanding distance of Jesus. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the Pharisees, they represent something of the old guard of Judaism. Old ways of thinking, and they never were going to embrace the kingdom. They were themselves the old cloth and the old wineskins. They were zealous for their religion, and having drunk themselves full on that, they were very quick to pronounce its superiority. The old is better. The old is better. So I think of all the parables, this is probably one that is readily understood. And why not? But it challenges me, and I don't mind sharing this with you. It challenges me hugely, because I recognize it addresses something in me that struggles to walk in humility before the Lord. There is no other way of describing this, I think, than just to say there's this rebellious, judgmental nature in me that I have every now and again, which insists that it knows how to do things better than God. It believes the old ways were better. The old ways that I did things before I completely submitted my life to the Lord. A few weeks ago, my Heavenly Father showed me my struggle in this regard. And it was really quite devastating. It seems humorous, but I'll show you the picture. I was just sitting there with Jesus at a table, and I lined up all these things: ministry, life, me, whatever. I don't even know what the things were. But just the way that I function is I ordered them all nicely. lined up before him. And he just took his finger and just flicked one away. You might laugh at this, but it's not funny. He showed me how this part of me that doesn't walk in humility just sat under the table, sulking. That wasn't much fun to see that. Under the table. I really, really didn't like to see that, but that's the part of me that struggles. How dare you mess up my order, Jesus? That is so disrespectful, is what I was thinking. Who am I to ask Jesus what he wants to do with my life? This really, really messed me up for a few days. I don't want you to be alarmed by any of this, because I know the power of the Holy Spirit to help me work through this. But I'm just sharing it with you because this is just life. This is what happens. And unless he shows us, we're ignorant of some of these things. But really, the Holy Spirit showed me how that part of me, this rebellious bit of me, absolutely refuses the victory found in Jesus Christ. Joel preached a message on this last week, whenever, the week before. The victory we have in Jesus, our spirit knows it. Our heart yearns for it. But something in our will says, no, I'm pretty sure I know how to do this. It doesn't want Jesus to do it for it. This part of me, anyway, is a bunch of rules. They're great rules. Even better when I get to enforce them on other people. Loves doing that. It weighs up who belongs and who doesn't belong. It segregates. It gets very angry when God asks it to do something. It absolutely detests the idea of being humbled. But this is what the Lord showed me. The rebel, the part of us that will not humble itself or struggles to humble itself, cannot enter the presence of God. It cannot enter the presence of God. It isn't smart enough for a start. He showed me that. I think he's having a bit of a chuckle with me. It's just not smart enough. And we read, don't we, that in Peter somewhere, that God resists the proud. He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So this is a big deal. This is a big deal. And this is where I'm heading. A line is established. A line is established in God's mind where humility is an absolute requirement. Humility is required to come into the Lord's presence, acknowledging our need for Jesus, for his forgiveness, for his healing, recognizing our place amongst other sinners. We cannot afford to somehow think, I'm somehow better, superior, I've lived longer so I know more. We're all one in Christ's body. In that crowd, friends, we are the redeemed. We're not the self-righteous. Okay? That's where we belong. It takes humility to join in a feast like that with Levi, with Jesus, knowing that we don't deserve to be there. We don't. But who invited you? Who invited you? Jesus. Jesus wants you to be there. He's called us to be there. We belong there. And I don't ever want to leave. And one day we will get to enjoy the wedding feast. The bride finally gets joined to her groom. We need humility to let go of the old stuff, to embrace the new. And that's why I think Campbell was so spot on. We need to recognize that line and ascertain, is there a bit of me that's just wandered past it again? Okay. I just hope this message can help you prepare yourself just to receive the next thing that the Lord has. And it's coming. It really is. The Apostle Peter wrote, all of you, clothe yourselves, this is the verse I referred to, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. That's a promise. That is a beautiful promise. And for us to be an effective church, which means to do mission in Jesus' name, we really need to learn and keep practicing this process of entering the Lord's presence. And I just recognized over the last few weeks that through Milton's teaching, through precious experience and through much grace, I have learned, I'm learning so much on how to enter the Lord's presence through worship and prayer. But I have so much to learn still about going deep with the Lord through humility. I never saw that connection to this parable. Not even when I started writing this message. But here we are. I'm trusting that it's something that the Lord wants to share with you this morning. Not to point out your faults, but just ask you, like he's asked me, Tony, where are you? How far? Are you anywhere close to that line? I want you closer. I want to be within arm's reach. I want to embrace you. And if you're way over there, almost out of earshot, I want you to come back closer. That's his invitation for you this morning. So I'll ask Shanina and the team to come up. What do we do then? What do we do? Well, we do what Jesus taught us to do. There is a very simple process that we grab hold of each and every time we recognize something. We face the facts. We just come to him honestly, saying, Lord Jesus, I just recognized I'm struggling in this area. Would you forgive me? We ask for forgiveness. We repent. Lord, I really don't want to do this. I don't want to leave that crowd. I don't want to leave that space. I want to stay with you. Would you help me think about this in a new way? Let your new way come and take up space in my mind so that I'm not looking for the old thing anymore. I'm looking for the new. Ask him, Holy Spirit, would you reveal to me whatever might be in the way of practicing humility? Just ask him. I'm sure he will show you. He gives grace to the humble. God, would you give me grace so that I can be humble before you? So that I can remain close, so close, that I don't even have to strain to hear you. Would you give me the understanding for myself, for my situation, for the people that you've entrusted to me to look after? Ask him for help. Ask him for strength. Ask him for wisdom. Right now, God, give me what I need so that I can come close to you time and time again. That I'm not even going to stray near that boundary of hearing. I want to remain so close that I will pick up your every word. That's what we do once we recognize the issue. So as we come back into a time of worship, I just want to invite you to bring that to the Lord. If He's shown you something this morning, if He's just pointed something out to you, to say, this is what I would like to change for you so that you can be even closer to me, then just step into that place with Him. If there is something like I've just confessed to you, there is a rebellious part of you that says, I'm really pretty good, thank you God. I think I know how to manage for another couple of days. I'll manage this situation and then I'm in. Then I'm in. The Holy Spirit knows how to convict you on that one. We can't afford to wait. And why would you want to, when the Lord's presence is so sweet, so beautiful, so satisfying? Why would you want to wait? So if there's something on your heart that the Holy Spirit's just gently drawn your attention to, let's trust that it's because God wants to bring you healing for that. He wants to give you a new way of thinking about that. He wants to help you ask for forgiveness so that He can forgive you for that. So that you can be cleansed and refreshed and walk out of this place with a whole new way of doing this. How does that sound? Would it be okay if we just invite the Lord to come and do that work for us? Would that be okay? Okay. So I'm going to ask the prayer team, the ministry team, just to get ready. And if you want to do this, if you want to change something, if you want to respond, then just come for prayer. Come for prayer. Shanina, I'll ask you to just lead us now. And just come for prayer, friends, to respond to what Jesus is doing for you today. Amen.